Today, more than ever in the history of education, credible online master's degrees are of great value. Introducing the Master of Science in Pharmacology program from UCI. The University of California, Irvine, UCI, is ranked as the number 9 public university in the nation by U.S. News and World Report. UCI is noted for its excellent research and graduate programs, an extensive commitment to undergraduate education, and a growing number of professional schools and programs of academic importance and social significance. Fall registration is now open. Apply today at sites.uci.edu/mspharmacology to learn more and reserve your seat by June 15th, 2020. That's sites.uci.edu/mspharmacology and reserve your seat today. The deadline is June 15th, 2020.
You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Pharmacy Podcast Nation, this is the host, the founder of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, Todd Ury. Would someone please pinch me? Because I feel like I am in a dream. You are not going to believe this. You probably know it from the show art, this beautiful face and a hero of ours. Dan Schneider is on the Pharmacy Podcast again with us. He's known as the pharmacist from the amazing Netflix series. Welcome back to the Pharmacy Podcast Network, Dan. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing great. But I would like Camille, Miss America, to go first because ladies are first.
I know. And our second guest, coming back to the Pharmacy Podcast Network, she was on with Dr. Madeline Aquiano on the Lux Pharmacist Podcast, her first time on the podcast network, Camille Schreier, Miss America. Like I said, someone pinch me. Welcome back to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Oh, thank you. And Dan is such a gentleman to let ladies go first. I appreciate that.
Thanks.
So I am excited to bring you both in a conversation, and the reason being, podcast listeners, you're probably not commuting because we're still under this crazy COVID-19 pandemic shelter in space in place, shelter in place. It might be your space, but shelter in place. And if you're not, if you're exercising, if you're listening while you're cooking dinner, it's a special episode. Camille Schreier, Miss America, has a passion in her heart as a scientist, as a biologist, and as a future pharmacist for people. And I've watched you, Camille, just interact with the youngsters of the world and women, young girls in STEM, and going to hospitals before we were actually on lockdown. And I just see such a servant leader, a warmth in your heart just for people. And what a amazing way to becoming a pharmacist with that kind of that warmth. And I want you to share with the listeners what Mind Your Meds is all about.
Yes. So when you compete in the Miss America organization, you're required to have something called a social impact initiative. And that is a key pillar of our organization. And what I love about it is that we get to advocate for something that is important to us. And it kind of stimulates you to do more than what you're just doing, in the classroom. So I was a pharmacy student at Virginia Commonwealth University. And I, of course, was looking to get involved with extracurricular activities. But now being able to develop this platform on my own, it has just given me this independence to go out and make a difference in the world and in the world of pharmacy as well. So Mind Your Meds is drug safety and abuse prevention from pediatrics to geriatrics. And so in my mind, it really has two wings to it. The first one is medication safety for parents and kids. And that was really inspired by my experience as a child, because I was a kid that got sick a lot. I was constantly in the doctor's office. I had chronic ear infections, chronic strep. I was the kid that got sick any single time that someone else in my class did. And when I would go to the pharmacy with my mom, who is a nurse, she would always be really cognizant of every single thing that she was putting in my body. She was making sure that she knew what ingredients were in the over-the-counter medications I was taking, asking the doctor to make sure that she knew the frequency and dose on every single liquid medication I was maybe getting as a kid. And when I got into pharmacy school, I realized how not normal that was and how lucky I was that she was that conscious of what I was taking. And that was something I felt like parents needed to know, and to be able to empower parents to be more aware for their children. And maybe if they're taking care of an older adult, a lot of my fellow classmates, their parents are maybe taking care of their parents at this point in their life. But then I went to a naloxone training session in pharmacy school, and that inspired the second arm of my Mind Your Meds platform. And that focuses on prescription drug abuse, specifically with the opioid crisis, because in Virginia, especially, that is the biggest prescription abuse that we see. We see a lot of heroin happening in especially Southwest Virginia, and it's really hard to see. And it wasn't something, I'm really lucky I don't have a personal connection to the opioid crisis. And I feel that I am a rare case to not have that. But learning about naloxone, learning about how this crisis is affecting my community in Virginia, but also nationwide, is what inspired this. So I do everything from medication safety, tools to prevent poisonings in children, all the way up to talking to people about the opioid epidemic in the country. And so I'm a busy girl. I have lots to do. I was doing it in Virginia as Miss Virginia, and then now I have the opportunity to do this nationally as Miss America.
That's awesome. This is a nice segue into Dan's mission. Dan, beyond being the pharmacist from the next Netflix series and what you've built, you now have this bigger organization and advocacy group called Tunnel of Hope. So tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Right. For one thing, I agree completely. Being an elder pharmacist, the Mind Your Med thing is an important issue, you know, properly taking your medications and what to do, what not to do, what to not overdo. So I'm 100% with Camille on that. But my focus is more on the opiate, and I'm now calling it the opiate addiction pandemic, because I've gotten comments from all around the country and around the world about this issue is a big, big problem everywhere. And as Camille stated in her, I think one of her comments on her platform is she brought to attention that 130 people die a day of opiate overdose. And so when you mix that along with other addictions, it's probably 150 a day or more. And then that's not counting how many people die in automobile accidents that are drug related or opiate related, addiction related. And so it's a huge, huge problem. But back to my I guess that is my topic, but the what I'm trying to do now is, a lot of people have seen the story and they're really moved by the personal content, and they're very thankful and they're appreciative, and I'm getting people that have given me personal testimonies and confessions and all these things. But I realize now that this is such a widespread thing, and there's so many people that have been affected that, and quite honestly, I'm very frustrated that our government, okay, and our politicians have not really dug into this issue. You know, I started working on it 20 years ago, and a lot of frustrations along the way. And until I got this platform, nobody even seemed to be listening. Okay, and so now it seems as though they're listening. The only people that the politicians listen to are really the pharmaceutical industry and the insurance industry. And this might be kind of rough, but they receive quite a bit of donations for their campaigns, and they're persuaded. And so, what my goal now is to develop an organization. I titled it Tunnel of Hope, which basically stands for, you know, we are in this dark tunnel concerning this opiate crisis. And, but I believe that there's some light at the end of the tunnel, and that I call it the Tunnel of Hope. And so back to the pharmaceutical manufacturers, I want to have a people's lobby. I want to form a large organization. I'll try to connect existing groups out there, okay? And I'll try to tie those groups together, and where there's vacancies, we'll try to create some groups. And they'll do a lot of the things that the typical groups do. They'll have marches, they'll have town halls, they'll have medicine pickup things and education things and talking at schools, okay? but they'll be a part of my nationwide network that basically is going to form this people's lobby. Hopefully we can get, you know, I'm going to think big, maybe 1 million people that we call supporters. We'll have their email addresses. And when I want to meet with the government about asking them to do something for our cause, I'll have maybe 1 million people backing me up. And if I hear the yah-yahs about we can't do this, or we don't have this, or we don't want to do this, or whatever, basically I'm going to say, I got 1 million people that ain't going to like what you said. Okay. And these 1 million people, by the way, if things don't work out the way they want, I think we'll get some protests around the country, because a lot of these people have lost kids. Okay. And we'll get protests and we'll get the media out there. So we'll exert pressure on the government. And then what even is more irritating is when you have a congressman or a senator sitting there, and on one side of the table, you have the pharmacy industry, their lobbyists, and they pretty much telling the congressman what they want. And of course, it's not open, but over their head is maybe $1 million in campaign funds. And so I want to sit on the other side of the table, and I'm going to flat tell the congressman that's sitting between me and the insurance industry, or the pharmaceutical industry, I'm going to flat tell that congressman, I'm not giving you any money. Okay? But I got 1 million people. Okay, and those 1 million people vote, and they touch other people who vote. There will be consequences if we can't get what we need and what we want for the parents that have lost kids. Okay. And so we're going to have a seat at the table. We won't win every battle, but at least it'll be a fair game. Up to now, they've had their way. And I want to include one extra thing in this while we're at it. My main cause is the opiate crisis and the deaths that have occurred. But the other thing that bugs me too is prescription pricing. It's really sad that somebody in Detroit's got to cross the border into Canada to get their insulin at a reasonable price so they can have insulin to maintain their life. And so, again, they've been talking about prescription pricing, but they never get anything done. If we have a seat at the table and 1 million people are behind us, I can guarantee you we'll get something done.
That is an amazing and righteous point. You're absolutely correct. PBM reform is at the height of attention and needing it needs to happen. We're seeing Arkansas doing some amazing things at the Supreme Court level, Ohio, Access 3 advisors exposing the Florida data where they showed that profit was taking precedence over patient care. It is coming unraveled. And then on the side of opioid usage disorder, there's advocacy now where people are finally paying attention, but it's not enough yet, which leads me to leadership. And, what's the famous quote that says, with amazing gifts comes amazing amounts of responsibility. I'm probably messing that up. I think it's a Superman quote from one of the Superman movies, but with amazing powers comes amazing responsibilities. And it makes me think of you, Camille. Mm-hmm. You've been blessed with this opportunity, and you have so much more to do, obviously, as Miss America, and so proud that you are who you are. And I now have gotten to know your mother, and mm-hmm. I can see why you are who you are, because of the type of woman that she is and the strength that she's provided you in your life. And so when you hear Dan and you hear so many of the stories out there and you have an opportunity to lead, what do you think your advocacy and or position or politics can actually help us forward the missions that you and Dan are both on?
Yeah, I have such an exceptional platform to be able to advocate for this nationally. And talking about kind of like having a seat at the table, that was something that Dan mentioned. And what I've realized is now being in this kind of a public figure role as Miss America, even if it is just for 1 year, that I can walk into a room with a different kind of a platform. And I am a pharmacy student, but I am Miss America, and I'm able to have people listen in a different way than maybe they would listen to someone that wasn't Miss America. And sometimes that's kind of crazy that even happens, but I am able to make an impact in a way that is so much more than what I was doing as a pharmacy student. And as someone who, you know, I am not a licensed pharmacist yet, I'm not working in the industry. And so for me to then help represent pharmacists like Dan, who are on the front lines, who are seeing what is happening, and if I'm able to help legislate for things that are going to help make this problem, you know, improve, that I have a responsibility from an ethical perspective as someone who's going into the industry, but also has this huge platform to be able to discuss it and have people be aware of it. I always say that I feel like my job through this process is to shout it from the rooftops and to keep talking about it so that people know that it's continuing to be an issue, because we're in this world that sometimes when, you know, we stop hearing about things, we think that they've gone away. And that absolutely is not true, because other things sometimes overshadow the problem. But that doesn't mean that it's gone away. It's given me an opportunity to learn about how deep this issue has run. I didn't even know how long this has been an issue. And so, Dan, when I watched The Pharmacist and I heard about how long you have been fighting this war, I was just completely shell-shocked that this was something, I thought this was a new issue, and it's absolutely not. And so I feel like this entire process first has given me an ability to make an impact as a pharmacy student, but will allow me to go back to pharmacy school and become a pharmacist with such a different lens on so many issues in our pharmacy profession.
You will do wonderful.
Thank you.
And by the way, the shouting from the rooftops, I like that. Okay. You know, of course, it can be pretty peaceful up there, as James Taylor says, you know, up on the roof. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's my job. And I have a lot of people that will listen to me now. And that is, you have to be cautious with that kind of power. You know, with great power comes great responsibility. And I want to use that voice that I have for this year in the most responsible and effective way and capitalize on that kind of power that I do have this year. And that's something that I will have a voice after I am Miss America as well. But this year is such a special one where I have the opportunity to get in front of so many people and shout this from the rooftops. But also I do have this other really cool power to be able to hear the stories of people that are afflicted. And Dan had sent me some wonderful testimonies from people that he's been in contact with through this process and who have watched The Pharmacist. And I feel like that is so much of what my job is as Miss America, is to hear the personal stories of people who have gone through a battle with opioid addiction. I had a man out in Arizona. I had gone to something with the Brain Injury Alliance of Arizona. And this man came up to me. He knew that I was visiting. It was a traumatic brain injury treatment facility. And he had gone through 3 different strokes associated with his addiction to opioid medications. And he shared his story with me and was actually in tears about the fact that I was spending my year as Miss America advocating for this issue. And the thing that really stuck with me is he looked me in the eye and he said, I know it's not my fault, it's theirs. And I think that he was directly referring to the pharmaceutical companies that were producing those particular medications that made him become addicted. And that really stuck with me. And that's something that I'll carry with me as I continue to go through pharmacy school. And so I get those really special moments throughout my year where I can really hold hands with the people that have been through this. And it's really humbling for me and reminds me why we need to continue to fight this battle.
So I was in the opioid usage disorder business directly from June of 2016 until about October 2019 with a medication-assisted treatment facility that has 82 centers throughout the country. Mm-hmm. And I would talk with politicians about the issues. And it wasn't until I got deeper into that 3-year, which was a blessing to be exposed at the highest of levels, that I started describing to these politicians that we have to stop being naive, or we have to stop being uneducated about what's really happening with profit over health, and how there are organizations out there that are nefarious and that are doing things on purpose in order to make profits regardless of the outcomes and the impact of what is happening to our society and communities and families and the deaths of loved ones. And so, you know, I'm speaking as an advocate, but Dan, when you speak, you're speaking as someone who has literally experienced that. If you haven't watched The Pharmacist yet, you have to go to the Netflix. If you don't have Netflix, definitely get it. It's worth even that, just that series, The Pharmacist, because it pieces together all of the separated pieces of this issue of opioid usage disorder and the drug epidemic and what opioids have done. And it, in four parts, it really spells out the truth. And the down-to-earth communicator that you are, Dan, made it so much more palatable because it goes into some very deep weeds of what the issues are. And we have to look at each other as a society in saying we have to hold each other responsible, and we have to hold, you know, the powers that be responsible, and our government responsible, the drug manufacturers, the pharmacists, the physicians, the patients themselves, the family members helping the patients or help being supportive, and then the superstars. We're all in this to make something better, and I see it changing. But what do you think, Dan, we can do? What could the Pharmacy Podcast Network and all of these listeners do to accelerate what you believe in and what you've done?
If I forget what you just asked me, I wanted to touch on something that Camille brought up. And it's related to what we can do also. But I'll come back to what we can do, okay? Camille mentioned that this gentleman said, it's not my fault, okay? And what we're talking about there is the stigma associated with drug addiction. The fact that in the past, many times people thought that these were oddball people, people that were unusual or maybe lower class or not good people or whatever however you want to title it. And so they were kind of looked down upon. And that really hurt their chances of having sympathy and getting support and getting insurance coverage. And that is changing, but it's not over. And in fact, after this podcast, I'm going to be on a conference call with a group called Shatterproof. I'm sure you may be familiar with Shatterproof, but Shatterproof, it was started by a father named, Gary Mandel, I believe it was. And his son, I believe, committed suicide. They had a serious drug problem for a long time. And his son left him a note or talked to him before he committed suicide and said, Dad, I just want people to know that it's not my fault, that I really tried really hard and I wasn't able to overcome this. And I hope people don't think bad of me. And so his dad now is going around with Shatterproof. And if we can break through that barrier, that's going to help us accomplish a lot. Now, I guess back to your topic, although that was related, of what we can do. The best we can do is all we can do, and that is to make people aware, to plead our case, to get people to empathize with the whole situation. And it really shouldn't be that difficult now, because I think we've kind of got to that top of that mountain and we're going downhill. Of course, let me just tell you, giving it a push will make it go a lot faster. And I think me and Camille plan on pushing it. Okay, and your podcast, I believe, is going to push it. And there's some other people out there that have been fighting for a long time that see this opportunity that I believe are going to push it. So whereas we haven't been able to make a dent in the problem, or at least a significant one, okay, I believe that's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years. I think we can cut this problem in half in the next 2 to 3 years. And if we do that, it's sad to say, but, you know, on the current pace, we're going to lose, but maybe in 3 years, 180,000 people, okay? 180,000 families affected. Tragedies like mine and so many have lost children, parents, sisters, brothers. If we can do that and cut it in half, and this is sad to say, we'll only lose 90,000. The good news would be 90,000 wouldn't have to go through which so many of us have had to go through. And I believe we can get it down lower than that. So, but we got to start. And I plan on helping push that. Camille's going to push that. And I think the Pharmacy Podcast can help push that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am excited to be a gong, a conduit for the minds, for the insights of my favorite healthcare professional, the pharmacist, the hub of healthcare. And I understand, I see for the last 16 years in this industry, what pharmacists are capable of doing, impacting healthcare costs, impacting families, impacting the individual, changing outcomes. It isn't about taking the prescription to the pharmacist, getting it filled and walking away anymore. Pharmacists are now much more involved from a consultative perspective and advocacy perspective, leadership perspective. It's amazing. Camille, we're going to have to introduce you, and Dan, introduce you to Scott Knorr, the oncoming CEO of the American Pharmacists Association. He is passionate about disruption and innovation and change. And I've seen what he did at Cleveland Clinic, his effectiveness, and the impact he made. And now he's coming to the American Pharmacists Association. So plugging you both into that platform as well is going to be exciting. And like I said, Pharmacy Podcast Network is all about the network. Even though we're delivering these messages through podcasting, it's really not about podcasting. It's about the network that we're building. And like I said, I have to pinch myself that in my network now is the pharmacist, Dan Schneider, and Camille Schreier, Miss America 2020. So I thank God for you both in your advocacy, in your mission. I want to have an open door policy to both of you where you can use this platform anytime that you want. Dan, we know that you're already coming back for several more episodes, but Camille, I know that your schedule now has changed a bit based on COVID-19, what everyone's going through. But yes. even after you are done with your tenure and your mission through Miss America, this is a platform for you as well. And we'll do whatever we can to support you.
Thank you so much. It is always so fun to be on these podcasts. And the one thing I will say before we're done is I love the fact that what Dan is doing is also bringing in the younger pharmacy community, because especially with Netflix now, using that as a tool for people in my generation to be able to understand what Dan has been fighting for 20 years. And for me as a young professional, being able to watch his story and connect with him, I know that he has fans that are younger than I, and many of my peers are really excited by what Dan is doing. And I think that this entire process has brought together the pharmacy community, both from my end. So I'm getting, you know, a lot of attention from younger pharmacists being a pharmacy student, but now Dan is able to connect all of us in this wonderful way. And we're all fighting for the same outcome. And I just wanted to mention that because it touches me that what Dan is doing is helping to bring together pharmacists of my generation, and that we can all fight together for this issue. So thank you for what you're doing, Dan. It's really making a huge impact.
I appreciate that. I also appreciate you. And I want to bring in something too that me and you have discussed, but I really believe that it's fate or divine or God-driven that all this is coming together at the same time. Both me and Camille, back like maybe last November, with two totally unknown commodities. Mm-hmm. And now we are on this podcast, and we seem to be leaders in this movement. And it's just incredible that we are giving this platform. And I do believe we were given it for a purpose. And there is a great deal of responsibility, but I know Camille's ready for it, and I've been waiting for it for 20 years. So, mm-hmm. I also do want to say this, you know, because we are in this COVID-19 process or coronavirus, okay, that we all say some prayers about what's going on in the country right now. It's really a sad situation, and most of the time I make comments, and I'm not trying to take away from the coronavirus, but. Usually in most of my Facebook posts and a lot of my posts, I'll talk about the coronavirus, and I'll talk about the seriousness of it and the loss. But then I kind of want to remind people that, you know, we have two pandemics going on, okay? And one's been going on for 20 years, okay? And we lose this 130 a day, every day, every day, every day, every month, every year, okay? And so that's not to belittle what's going on with the coronavirus, okay? But it's while we have all this attention, let's make sure they realize that there's another pandemic going on. And we got to do something about it too. When this thing calms down, we got to definitely focus on this. So I think that's about all I got to say right now.
Well, I thank you so much. Thank you both for being on the Pharmacy Podcast Nation and having this platform for the voice of the pharmacist is extremely important to us as a profession, as well as the patients and customers and consumers that are also tuning in. Share these podcasts if you're listening now on Twitter. Link up through Twitter with Camille. She's out there. Dan, you're accessible via Facebook. I see we're following the pharmacist. You're doing amazing amounts of posting with great information. I appreciate you both. And I'm excited to hear from you both in the near future.
Same here.
Thank you so much for having us. This was so much fun to be able to collaborate.
You are very welcome. We were on with Dan Schneider, the pharmacist from the Netflix series, and the one and only Camille Schreier, Miss America 2020. And we thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.